GOB 52, Curious Beaks. There must be many ageing birders who use their mind's eye to travel back to their birding roots. They say that once you're past 30, you think about death every day of your life. Birders past 50 start to remember the good old days, and this month I celebrate incipient dotage as I hit the official retirement age, so my birding is increasingly virtual. Sometime before World War II, John Players issued cigarette cards called Curious Beaks. And when I was about 8, I found them in my gran's house. And there was a spark there that became the burning passion of my adulthood. The spark was fanned alive by hunting for ouzels, that's blackbirds, eggs, and bottle-tits nests, that's long-tailed tits. Even today, the sight of such a nest of feather, moss and gossamer curiously moves me. I often say that my love of birds began the day a kingfisher landed on my fishing rod and used it as a perch to catch a fish, but in truth that day the slow-burning embers burst into glorious flames. I became a birder as a teenager, by which I mean I started noting what I saw and began going out specifically to see birds, rather than just getting to know them incidentally on country walks or fishing trips. I recently uncovered my 1960s birdie notes, what birds I saw and where. And at that time, on summer evenings, I accompanied my parents to a rutted farm track running alongside a wood. Dad carried a gallon bottle of water in the car boot to fill one of the dry ruts, thus creating a puddle that we could see when we retreated into the car. Soon the rut became fringed with sipping tree sparrows and redpolls, and awash with bathing yellowhammers. From the sweet chestnut coppices the evening air was a delight of nightingale song. Corn buntings rasped from a fence post, and if we were lucky, a little owl would perch and preen on the same fence. I wasn't yet a birder. On our family holidays, On our last family holiday, we passed Chew Reservoir, where a proper khaki-clad birder pointed out a teming stint. But I was far more enchanted by a family of kingfishers. They screamed up and down a feeder stream and then lined up on a pipe under the bridge to dive for minnows. My birding days came slightly later, when visits to family in East Anglia. Included outings to Minsmere and Walberswick. My ancient tea-stained RSPB checklist then has new life as underlined and year ticks given a circle. I never chased rarities as such, but I started to go where I could build my life list. Moving to Scotland extended it somewhat when I saw my first ospreys and golden eagles. My dalliance with twitching was brief, the 1980s culminating in a sort of junior big year, when I set out to see as many birds as I could, subject to the constraints of a more than full-time job. I still twitch in my county, for world-lifers. I travelled the 1.5 miles to get the Margate Dusky Thrush last year. But I'm mostly back to just enjoying birds. I've managed to get a few of those curious beaks over the years, like hawfinch and puffin. Spoonbill and flamingo. Maybe I can still hope to get the rest of the set if Providence allows, although I think Huia and Great Auk will stay beyond my reach unless time travel becomes possible. How many others like shoebill, bristlebird, or spoonbill sandpiper are on their way out as well? As for the commonplace birds of my youth, a lot of hard work now might save them for my grandchildren, but fundamental change is needed for them to be around to delight their children. We must stop trying to exploit or tame nature, and instead find ways to share with her. She is, after all, our mother, not our enemy. That's all. Hope you can edit that one, matey.